All right, everybody. We'd like to welcome you to Wednesday night service. If we'd all stand, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. And if anybody has any prayer requests, this is a great time to just reach out to God, faith, believing. If you have a prayer request right now, and if you're here in the sanctuary, would you just lift your hand? We'd like some ladies to gather around Sister Vernon. She has some scans on her foot. She's healing well, but we want to get her at full speed, full recovery, and we just want to pray with her. If anyone else has a need, would you just lift your hand to the Lord? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you'll touch the service, God. You'll touch all of the needs that are represented here in faith, believing, God, that you will miraculously heal, God. You can miraculously deliver. Oh, God, you can lead and guide, Lord Jesus, and fix everything, oh, God, that we can have problems with. God, we ask you, Lord, tonight, Lord Jesus, you'll bring peace and rest to your children, oh God, and also spiritual meat, Lord God, tonight. We ask you, God, to touch this sermon tonight, to bless it, Lord God, to help us, oh God, to be better Christians, Lord, to be better servants, oh God, of the kingdom. And Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, right now that you would just have your way in this service, have your way in the rest of this church service tonight, this environment, oh God. Let us just come before you with worship and praise, oh God. We lift you up, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a great God, Lord Jesus. We just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise tonight, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of everything, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's all be seated. We have just a few announcements I'd like to bring your attention to. First of all, if you're a guest here tonight, we just welcome you here. And if you're visiting online, you can join. You can get better connected by going to the Bit.ly link at CGC Connections that you can see on your screen there. That just helps us to get better connected with you. And if you're here in person, you can go to the kiosk in the back and receive one of these connection cards. In the future, we're going to be moving away from the connection cards into an iPad, and our ushers will be helping people to get into that system. So if you start to see that transition as a church member, you can also help people find that iPad and get connected with an usher. That'll be great. So when you start seeing that transition, just keep in mind, if you bring a visitor, that bring them up to the kiosk, and that's how we'll start doing that. It'll just help us streamline and everything. There's some giving options tonight we would like to remind you of. There are four ways to give. You can always give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person back at the same kiosk, or you can give by the mail if you want to send in a check to 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can give in the mobile giving app. If you don't have that app, you can always see Pastor Phil or one of us, and we can help you get that connected on your smartphone. If you have an Apple or an Android, it works really awesome. So just come and see us. Some announcements. This Friday night is the CGC Ladies Conference, and so we just want to remind all of our ladies to please be there and bring a friend, and just come expecting. All ladies are invited to come. It's just a one-night ladies' conference. There are some other things happening in our building that weekend, so we're going to put it all into one night. But it's going to be Friday, November 18th. It's going to start at 6 p.m., and there will be a worship service, a Q&A panel, followed by a chili fellowship. And Sister Rebecca Kira from New Berlin, Wisconsin, will be ministering. The cost is only $5, so please make plans to attend and invite somebody. And also this Sunday night is our men's ministry service at 6 p.m. We'll have Brother Ben Smith will be speaking to us, so we're excited for that. And so we're just, we'll be meeting right here in the sanctuary, and then we'll probably go to Culver's or something right after that. I don't know why Kelvin Wells would be calling me right now. Is there a problem? Kelvin, don't do that. Just watch this later and don't do that. And so let's all stand. We're just going to enter into a time of praise and worship, and we're just excited for what God's going to do here tonight. Amen.
Standing, if you're not, if you would, let's read from Psalm 133. I'm going to read the first three verses. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like fine oil poured on the head, which flows down the beard, Aaron's beard, and then flows down his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, which flows down upon the hills of Zion. Indeed, that is where the Lord has decreed a blessing will be available, eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I have to admit, I don't even know what version I'm reading from tonight because I forgot when I put this together, I use an eSword and I use different versions. And sometimes I get stuck in one version and that's what I put in my notes, and I'm not even sure what I'm reading, so I can't tell you what version I was reading from. But I did, for the next verse, I'll be reading from the King James, because I brought that up here. Amen. All information you didn't need to know, right? Praise God. We're familiar with this passage, and I think not too long ago, someone preached from it, very important to the people of God and to the family of God that we understand its application. This idea of unity is necessary for the body of Christ to increase. It's a purpose for our existence is to be one in Jesus Christ, to be one in God. The psalmist here, of course, is talking about Israel in this case and the blessings of unity among God's people in that day and that age, but the same principle applies to us today. And the anointing oil that is mentioned here is significant of God's anointing of the Holy Spirit of course, on the priesthood and upon the tabernacle. And we know that in our day, we have the great blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But that oil that was used in the Old Testament had a special recipe. We have some up here. I wasn't sure if we had them on the platform, on the pulpit or not. These are little vessels that were given to us by the Spearses when they were here. And they're made according to the recipe of the Old Testament of the anointing oil. It had pure myrrh. It had sweet cinnamon. It has fragrant cane, also called calamus, and cassia. And then, of course, there's olive oil. These things are mixed into the olive oil, and it has a certain fragrance to it. A certain blessing that comes with it is the fragrance that is along with it. A couple of things about this passage and about the application of the oil. It's no doubt. There's no question that it was on purpose that the psalmist made mention of the fact that the oil started at the head, that it was poured on the head and flowed down over the body. See, unity works that way. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The priest represented the people before God, and he also represented God before the people. So when the anointing was upon the priest and upon the tabernacle, and there was a right relationship between the people of God and God himself, there was a flow of blessing and anointing that came down. And in that day and at that time, their ability to draw near to God was based upon the tabernacle. So it starts at the head and flows down over the body. And of course, the New Testament tells us that our high priest is Jesus Christ, and that the church is his body. So if the anointing of God is going to flow to the body of Christ, then we are going to have to make sure that we are submitted to Jesus Christ and to his will. Another thing about the oil being poured down, you know, we anoint people with oil, and we have a little eyedropper here, and we put it on our fingers, and we make little smudges on people's foreheads, and then we give them a good shake and pray for them. They poured it on. And I don't think it was like, you know, the ketchup bottle trying to get that to come. I think it flowed. It was messy. It didn't flow uniformly. Sometimes your brother gets blessed before you do. Sometimes the anointing isn't where you expect it. The Holy Ghost, from our perspective, sometimes is kind of messy. We're not quite sure what God is doing sometimes, but I'm telling you, if we will get together in his will and submit ourselves to one another and submit ourselves to the power and the name of Jesus Christ, there will be a flow of his Spirit. It didn't flow, and it does have a pleasant odor, and I'll come back to that in a moment. Then the psalmist goes on to compare it to the dew on Mount Hermon. Now, evidently, they could see actually the mountain there, and they had something to identify with. But the emphasis here is the fact that the moisture that accumulated on the mountaintop came down to the hills and watered them. So the emphasis here, I think, is on the result, because it talks about the hills of Zion being blessed, we would know that there was the flow of water coming from Hermon if we looked around and we saw that things were growing, that there was fruitfulness. If there's no fruitfulness, maybe we're not in the flow. If we're not seeing growth in the body of Christ or in our ministry, or in our home, if there's not increase spiritually speaking, then maybe we're not where we're supposed to be in the flow of God's Holy Spirit. If there's green stuff popping up all around me or around you, and there's none here, that's an indicator that maybe you're not where you need to be. You see, we need to get in unity to experience the flow of God's anointing. 1 Corinthians says it this way. Tells us a little different story. Tells us what it's like when it's not flowing, actually. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am Paul, of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, I think tonight we have to all come to the conclusion. We have to make sure that we know for certain that I am of Jesus Christ. Or is it, I am of Donald Trump? Or I am of Schumer? Or I am of Biden? Or I am of Pence? Getting quiet in here, Pastor. Or Evers, or Michaels, or maybe CNN, or Fox News, or I am of MSNBC, or I am of Newsmax. In Corinth, they were claiming spiritual or religious authority or superiority based upon who baptized them. In Corinth, they were claiming spiritual or religious superiority based on who baptized them. I sure hope there's no one here tonight that's claiming spiritual superiority based on our political beliefs or what public media we accept or don't accept, or certainly not any political party. I would suggest, I would even argue, that our perception of politicians and public media should be framed and based on our understanding of the scripture rather than the other way around. We can't be reading the scripture based on our social values or our political choices and then make the Bible fit our choices. I'm going to repeat that. I hope our perception of politicians and public media is framed and based upon our understanding of the scripture. The oil of anointing for the priesthood was not to be used for any other purpose. It was forbidden in the Word of God to be used for anything else but for the anointing of the priesthood and the tabernacle. They had different types of oil. They used it for cosmetic and hygienic purposes. Did you know, I found this out, they would slather oil on themselves, and then this is how they cleaned themselves sometimes, they would scrape the oil off to get the dirt off their... I'm glad I have a shower in my house. The anointing oil for the priesthood and the tabernacle were reserved for holy, everyone say holy, holy purposes of the tabernacle and the priests. You see, there's something different. There's something different about the blessing that comes to the house of God. There's something different about the Spirit of God when he anoints his servants. There's something different about the presence of God among his people. There's something different that happens when there's unity among God's people. I have to ask myself, you should ask yourself, is the oil flowing down upon my garments? Are the waters of Mount Hermon making my life fruitful? I'm not talking about material blessing. I'm talking about spiritual fruitfulness. Are the fruit of the Spirit increasing in our lives? Am I affecting people's lives around me? Am I reaching the lost? Am I strengthening my brother and my sister? Am I in true fellowship with other members and with the church and with the church as a whole? Is the oil of anointing flowing in my life? We've got to find our anointing. Listen to me. We've got to find our anointing, our blessings. We've got to find our affirmation, even our identities in Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Sida, wait a minute. I'm my own person. I'll decide where my identity comes from. Okay, it's a free country. You have that choice. You have that. God gave us a free will. But I want to remind just two verses in the book of Corinthians. Two passages, if you will. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 7, 23 says, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Now, maybe you're aware of the fact, in case you don't know, we've just come through an election cycle. If you missed it, I don't know where you were. Or should I say we're finishing up an election cycle? Maybe sometime soon. Perhaps. Just in time to start another campaign in another election cycle. Maybe you've heard. I need 6 volunteers, and they need to be somewhat hardy. But they need to be like teenager or older, because it's going to, otherwise, you don't look like a teenager, brother. So I need 6 volunteers. Come on up. I'll call you out. There you go. I need 2 right here, and I need 2 over here and 2 over here. I need another brother right here next to Peter. All right, we need 1 more on this side. All right, good. Hardy hail. Everyone say, ooh. Yeah, see. All right, now, I have some instructions for you, and wait till I say go. All right, so first of all, these 2 gentlemen in the middle, lock your arms together. Lock them together tight. Flex just for a moment. Let's see how they. All right, now wait till I say go. Don't do this yet. 2 men on the left and the 2 men on the right, you're going to grab the person on your side and try to pull them to your side of the altar. Not yet. I didn't say go yet. But while you're doing that, I want you to worship. All right? Ready, set, go! All right, stay here for a second. Stay here for a second. All right, what we see here is a tug of war, right? And while they're tugging on each other, they're trying to worship God. Where's the focus going to be? Where's the energy going to be? Is it going to be in the worship, or is it going to be in the wrestling and the pulling against each other? Are they going to did they worship together? Or were they trying to win the tug of war? All right, you can be seated. Thank you. Give them a hand. Are we trying to win people to Jesus Christ, or are we too busy trying to choose sides and prove each other wrong? We can't have a tug of war in the body of Christ and worship God at the same time effectively. If I'm on one side of the tug of war, how much fellowship am I going to have with this person on the other side? We're pulling in opposite directions. And how much real fellowship are these guys in the middle going to have when all of our attention is on proving who's right and who's wrong? 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 6 says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, for us there's one God, the Father, of whom we are all things, and we are for him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, through whom we live." Right, I'm gonna change the language a little bit in this passage. I'm gonna read it again. The modern version, or the corrupted version, if you want to call it that. "Now concerning things offered to political or social idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But knowledge puffs up, and love edifies. And if anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the consuming and pursuing of things offered to political or social idols, we know that a political or social idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God, no other Savior, no other righteous one, no other holy one, no other one that's true but one. For even if there are so-called political or social gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many political and social gods and many political and social lords, yet there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we are for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live." Praise God. I feel led to make one more related point, and I kind of ran this whole concept past the pastor before I got up here. I have to tell you that I have plenty of political opinions. I have ideas about the Constitution and politics, and I have lots of opinions. These are some books I brought from home: The Federalist Papers, Freedom of Religious Expression in Public Universities and High Schools, The Original Tent, The Courts, The Constitution, and Religion, One Nation Under God, The Things Every Christian Should Know About the Founding of America, The Establishment Clause, Religion and the First Amendment, and Great Quotations on Religious Freedom. But the one book that really matters is this one right here. There may be some personal opinion mixed in the rest of this message, more maybe than I want to admit. But I think I can make a sound biblical and even a logical argument for everything I'm about to say. I'm going to try and apply the biblical principles I've been trying to highlight here tonight. Here goes. There is a difference between being a patriotic American and a believer in Jesus Christ. I believe that every Christian should be patriotic in this sense, that we honor the law of the land, that we pray for and honor our leaders, no matter who they are. And we pray for and support the safety of our nation. That's love of the country, or patriotism, for a Christian, anyway. Let me just say, not my president is not an appropriate bumper sticker for a Christian. Not even a good motto, just saying. One problem with that idea is that patriotism means different things to different people. Hence, we have political differences and political parties. One side thinks they're right, and the other side knows that they're right. But see, to be a patriot, I don't have to believe that we are always right as a nation. As a matter of fact, a true patriot points out when we are in error and does whatever he can to try and make things right. We automatically think, now, maybe you're not like me, but I'm guessing a lot of you are. And when we hear this, we automatically think of that other person we know disagrees with us, and we hope they're listening so they can apply this. This is for you. This is for me. We don't get to judge the other person in this. A true Christian does not denigrate or speak evil of a brother or sister who disagrees, whether it's in public or private. Here's something we might overlook, being humans. Even if you're absolutely right about what it means to be a patriot, and you absolutely live up to that definition in every way possible, that does not necessarily mean that you are a mature Christian. I'm going to say that again. Just because you fulfill the definition of a patriot completely does not mean that you have necessarily become a mature Christian. It's what you do with your patriotism that determines whether or not you are a Christian. You don't have to be a good Christian to be a good American. You don't even have to be a good Christian to be a good American patriot. The kingdom of God is not the United States of America. And the United States of America is not the kingdom of God. Romans 12 gives us the recipe for the child of God who wants to have strong opinions or who wants to judge his brother's opinion. Romans 12, 9, and this is a long passage. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Boy, if we could do just to this point, if we could do all that, what a difference it would make. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. No. Bless those which persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Here's a good one. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't be wise in your own conceit. I like that better. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. And that doesn't mean you're going to light him on fire. That means you're going to warm him up. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I know I'm just reading the Bible, but how could anyone preach it any better than that right there? I'm standing in front of this congregation, and I openly admit that there's a lot. I need to go a long way to live up to what I'm talking about tonight. I will admit that, but that doesn't minimize how important it is for us to get this. This is the prescription for how we ought to treat each other and how we ought to present ourselves to the world around us. If we can do all of this, then the oil of anointing will flow down on Calvary Gospel Church, upon the Seidel household, upon the Rossing household, upon the Repka household, upon the Millen household, upon the Rivest household, upon every household and every child and every one who comes in contact with the body of Christ, upon every member, until it's flowing off of us and affecting the world around us with that sweet and pleasant odor that the oil of anointing carries with it. Why don't we stand? Oh, praise God. One of the devil's greatest tricks, most effective methods, is to divide the church. He's already succeeded in dividing our nation. But it's up to us to overcome that. We have to be the place where unity dwells. We have to be the place where every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe comes together. Every color of skin, every type of person, every rich and poor, every economic class, every social class, every division that the world wants to impress upon the population, we need to be the place where that comes together. Because we serve one God. As you come and pray, I want to invite you to come and pray at the altar. I want to do two other things, but please come whenever you're ready. Consider any division or offense to a brother that you may have caused, that you're aware of. First, bring it to the Lord in prayer and consider how you can make it right. I know the scripture says if you have your brother, you have aught against your brother, go make it right. But you want to be careful how you handle that. So I say pray first and figure out what's the best way to make things right if you need to make something right. But come and pray. If the Lord's talking to you about any kind of offense or division that's in your heart tonight, maybe you do need to go to someone. Maybe you just need to repent and let God change your attitude. Maybe you need to counsel with someone and find out how to handle it. But let the Holy Ghost talk to our hearts right now. Second thing, I want to share Paul's charge to us as believers, as Christians. We are children of the Most High God, Jesus Christ. Paul says this in 2 Timothy. And go ahead and pray. Go ahead and worship. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come, and I will say now is, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. We cannot be led by our own desires. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Don't let the world get a hold of your hearing, of your heart. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In Jesus' name.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. And Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around
Thank you, Brother Seidel, for a challenging message tonight. And I agree wholeheartedly. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known as a donkey. And I don't want to be known as an elephant. I want to be known as a Christian. And I don't want my Christianity hijacked by a donkey or an elephant. God bless you. We're going to finish our series on Sunday morning that we started, Acts 2:42. And we're gonna finish up. And it's going to be very close to some of the things that Pastor Seidel talked about this evening. So God bless you. Remember, Brother Mackey will not be here this weekend. Continue to pray for him with his health issues. And also pray for Bishop. He's in the hospital again. He just took a fall earlier this week, and he just needs our prayer. He's just in rough shape, if I could just say that. Just pray for him. Pray for my mother, and she kind of struggles with a lot of this. So continue to pray for Sister Christina McKnight and also for the Carpenter family, Sister Pam Carpenter. So God bless you. Thank you so very much to our Thompson sisters. Oh, I know you got different names now, but I thank you so very much. God bless you. We will see you back here. Remember the ladies Friday evening? Special ladies conference. So God bless.